And good afternoon, and welcome to today's All VR call. And thank you for joining today's call on Tuesday, April 14th. We will start the event, and I want to again welcome you all. My name is Jocelyn Greenwich. I'm the TPM Senior Program Director, and I will serve as your moderator for today's call. Before we begin with our agenda and the presentation, I would like to advise you that this call is scheduled for 60 minutes. Next slide, please. The agenda for today's call, we will go over some logistics and housekeeping items, followed by announcements, an overview of the Ticket to Work evaluation, an overview of the Ticket Portal enrollment, updates on Ticket Portal pre-employment transition services, followed by reconsideration policy changes, untimely filing denials, VR reminders, and we will end with some questions and answers. And then we will preview the next upcoming WISE event. Next slide, please. I want to let you know that this call is being recorded and transcribed. All post-call items will be available on the yourtickettowork.ssa.gov website in a few weeks. Also, participants are not permitted to record nor capture the transcript from this call. Chat will not be active for today's call. To ask questions during the Q&A, click on the raise hand icon at the top of the Teams window. You will be given audio access by a member of the production team. You will then click the mic to unmute and ask your question. For those joining the call by phone, we ask that you raise your hand and press *5. The production team will provide audio access and press *6 to unmute and ask your question. We will provide instructions again right before Q&A session starts. Next slide, please. All right, so we ask that you please keep the question to one per person each time you are called upon. At any time, any additional questions or comments may be sent to the VR help desk at ssa.gov. Any question not answered during the live event will be forwarded to the appropriate panelists for their answers and comments. I would like to let you know that closed captioning is available via the MS Teams and via the closed captioning link. You may also activate live captions in MSN Teams. More actions. Menu, by collecting the menu, selecting more at the top of Teams screen. You will then scroll down to the language and speech by clicking on turn on live captions. To use the link option, copy the link from the Gov delivery message and paste it in the browser to view live captions. Next slide, please. All right, I will be covering some announcements for you all. Next slide, please. I would like to let you know that a link to the Versa distribution frequency poll was sent in the Gov delivery message this morning. You can click on or copy the link and paste it into your browser to open the poll. The purpose is to gather VR responses regarding the distribution frequency preference. This poll will remain active until 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Additionally, we have some suitability office reminders. So please note that the SSA suitability office has a new email address. That email address is secres.contractor.vetting@ssa.gov. Also, remember to please compress all files sent to the suitability office. If you have any questions about this, please email the VR Help Desk at ssa.gov. Next slide, please. All right, at this time, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Seth Hartig, who will go over and present the Ticket to Work evaluation. Seth, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Jocelyn. Can you change it to the next slide, please? Hi, everyone. As Jocelyn mentioned, I'm Seth Hartig with SSA, and I'm here to provide you all with a reminder about some upcoming activities related to the Ticket to Work evaluation that we're conducting. As we discussed in a previous call, SSA will be sending out a survey to each VR agency in the coming weeks. The survey will be a chance for SSA to learn from your experience and expertise about what is working well with the Ticket to Work evaluation. What is working well with the Ticket to Work program and where improvements can be made. The program contacted each VR agency will receive an invitation to the survey by mail and by email. The email will come from a contractor, Mathematica, from the email address listed on this slide, ttwevaluation, that's one word, at mathematica-mpr.com. If your email system has a safe sender list, please add this email address to that list. If not, please check your spam folders over the next few weeks to make sure you see the survey invitation. We're offering a $40 gift card to each provider that completes the survey. You'll be asked near the end of the survey for a mailing address where we can send that card. You can also decline the offer to receive that card, the $40 gift card, if your organization rules prohibit it. In addition to the survey, we'll be also conducting interviews with beneficiaries to ask them about their experiences. If one of your clients reports that they have been invited to an interview, please encourage them to participate. We're also offering $40 gift cards for the participating interviewees. I'll be here until the end of the call to take any questions you might have about these activities. You're also welcome to email me or my colleague, Elliot Stinnett, using the email address that was listed on this slide. Thanks so much, and I believe the next presenter will be Alexis.
Hi, thank you. This is Alexis Thomas, and I was just going to go over some ticket portal enrollment information. Next slide, please. There's been some confusion on the process to receive access to the ticket portal. While VR staff must receive suitability clearance to gain access to the ticket portal, it is not the only step in the process. To gain access to the ticket portal, VR employees must attain a suitability clearance. The next step would be to create a My Social Security account that has advanced security on it, and then you have to receive authorization from SSA. Once you've received your suitability letter, please reach out to the VR Help Desk at vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. The letter alone does not grant access to the ticket portal. SSA must enroll you as a new user. The VR Help Desk will need to verify that you have a My Social Security account with advanced security. We encourage you to create a My Social Security account using your personal email address, since it gives you access to your personal Social Security information. VR staff should not share the ticket portal link with unauthorized VR agency staff, because SSA enrolls all new users and provides a welcome letter, which will include the portal link. And the next presenter will be Katie Streibman, or Katie Seymour, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Alexis. Hi, everyone. This is Katie Seymour. Next slide, please. So I am going to go over, just walk through how to submit pre-ETS claims in the ticket portal. We haven't done a walkthrough since the functionality was added to the portal, so I thought this was a good time. If you have questions about the policy itself, you can ask your question later in the call for the Q&A. We will have staff on hand to answer your policy questions. If you have additional systems questions, we'll also be aligned for the Q&A for that. So I just want to give you a heads up. And I also do want to say, you know, the Ticket Portal User Guide, like Alexis mentioned, you get a copy of that when you're enrolled. That user guide has not changed since we implemented the portal and added VR payments to it in 2017. So, you know, I'm not showing you anything that is new functionality wise. We just have added a couple of options so that you can submit pre-ETS claims. So your resource really is that ticket portal user guide if you have questions about the flow or how to do something. But obviously policy questions should go to the VR help desk. So just a little background, back on June 2nd of last year, we expanded the VR cost reimbursement program to reimburse state VR agencies for pre-employment support services provided to disabled youth ages 16 and 17. Now you are able to request reimbursement for services that lead to 9 months of SGA. And then in August, we announced that we had updated the ticket portal to include the new pre-ETS claim type. It was a email blast. It didn't include screenshots, but it did give you the information you would need to submit claims. So for this presentation, I'm just going to walk you through the screens. Next slide, please. And just a reminder, these are the allowed pre-ETS costs. Here are the service codes. That is also in the original blast you received. I do also want to add, you know, if you're like, oh, wow, this is new, I don't remember seeing that email, please contact us and we'll get you added to our list to make sure you get all of our gov delivery messages. We do send important policy information through those messages. This is just a reminder here. So you should have a copy of this. Next slide, please. Just a reminder, all supporting documentation for your claims, including pre-ETS claims, should be submitted within 24 hours of creating the claim. You should not sit down to request a payment via the ticket portal unless you're prepared to fax all the required documentation. Some of the documentation required for a pre-ETS claim would be the service agreement, the SSA 199, we need to see those costs listed out, the IEP or 504, the IPE, and any amendments, and then proof of payment. Next slide, please. So there are two ways to submit VR claims. This has not changed. You can either go through the screens to fill out a single claim. So for one SSN, you can go through a screen and request a payment by SSN, or you can upload a VR claim file, which is multiple claims. We have made two changes overall to the portal that was made recently back in August. We have a new claim basis type of pre-ETS, and we added a new field because that service agreement date is mandatory. Next slide, please. So here on the right, there's the menu for VR cost reimbursement claims. If you are gonna do one at a time, you're gonna pick the request a VR payment by SSN. Now, this will only allow you to submit one claim at a time. You are going to have to navigate through screens. You're pretty much filling the form out, one field at a time. As a reminder, there is no save option when you do it this way. We do not have the ability to save this. So we recommend if you have more than five costs, when you get to the screen where you're, you know, putting your total, we recommend just combining the costs and leaving a note in the comments. So that way, you know, you can give us the breakdown when you send us the 199, right? Say you have 20, but we do not want you to sit there and try to input 20 costs and then have it time out and kick you out, right? We want you to make sure you get the minimum that you need to get through. We want you to make sure the totals are correct for us, but, you know, we would want you also to leave a note, you know, making it clear that you understand that you're submitting the 199 to follow with the costs listed out. That way, your claim is going to get over to us correctly, right? You're not going to lose all your work, and then we will have the breakout on our side. And this is for every claim, not even just the pre-ETS one. So just a reminder, since we're walking through this, that, you know, if you have a lot of costs and you decide to go one SSN at a time in the screen, you cannot save, and we don't want you to lose your work. Next slide, please. So what we've added here on the general information tab, you now have the option where you just had continuous period of SGA and medical recovery during VR 301, you are now going to select the pre-ETS radio button. If you are submitting a claim and you have at least one pre-ETS cost that you're seeking reimbursement for, you need to make sure you click that radio button. That tells us that it's a pre-ETS claim, and that makes sure, next slide, please, that right there on that box, date of service agreement will appear. If you do not choose the pre-ETS claim type, it is not going to give you the date of service agreement, and we need that date to complete your claim. Next slide, please. So if you're going to do more than one claim and you have the ability to either create or generate or even, you know, type out in a text pad a VR claim file, you want to use the option upload VR claim file. This will allow you to submit multiple claims at once. You are going to be filling out all the fields that mimic the SSA 199. So instead of going through a screen, you are going to be using those little brackets to fill it out. The Ticket Portal User Guide in the back does have sample XMLs for you to look at and use if you were going to try to type it out. Next slide, please. And here is a sample for you. Because, right, as you saw through the screens, there's a new claim type. We now have a new claim basis in the file, and you're going to want to use the U value of E. Along with the new value of E, you're going to want to add the service agreement date. Once again, both of those are mandatory for pre-ETS claims. That way, I can identify the information comes over that we need to process your claim. Next slide, please. And here's a reminder of how to fax the required documentation. If you are submitting a pre-ETS claim, then you are going to have to send us documentation in order for us to complete your claim. So you're going to go to view all VR pending payments for me. Next slide, please. And you're going to go to your pending claims lists. If you just created the claim or even did your file upload, they all go in order by date received, so they should be at the top. You're going to look for your claim and you're going to click the actions link. Next slide, please. If you have not done any faxes before, right? This is a new claim you just submitted. You're only going to see the option for fax additional information. If you've already created a fax before, like say you're doing multiple ones for the same case, you will see the check fax status option. But in this example here, it's a brand new claim. You haven't faxed anything yet. So you're going to want to click on the fax additional information link. Next slide, please. And then here you will see all the options. We did add the pre-ETS service agreement option, which is the PETS form, and the IEP form. Both of those need to come over to us, and you should create a fax cover sheet for each relevant document type. That makes it much easier on our side to keep track of it separately. If you fax one thing in with other, we just have such a hard time, and it's going to slow down us processing your claim. So we would prefer it if you go through and make a fax cover sheet for each of the document types separately. Next slide, please. And just a reminder, overall, in order for a claim to be considered pre-ETS, the service must have been provided when the client was 16 or 17. Please make sure you check this before you send them over. While we understand that services may continue past age 17, they must have started when the client was 16 or 17 under a service agreement. And also, just as another reminder, all pre-ETS claims follow the same timely filing rules as claims based on SGA. So they follow the same rules as the claims you've typically been sending over. Next slide. Yep, and I believe this is where I hand it over to Renee Clark.
Thanks, Katie. Good afternoon, everyone. Next slide, please. We're updating our reconsideration policy. So starting May 1st, SFA will allow VR agencies to submit up to two requests for reconsideration per denied claim for all initial claims received on or after May 1st. We continue to expect VRs to limit reconsideration requests to those based on high quality data. These reconsideration requests are subject to timely filing restrictions. SSA will allow a VR agency up to 90 calendar days from the date of the initial denial to file two reconsideration requests for a non-earnings related claim denial. SSA will allow a VR agency up to 365 calendar days from the date of the initial denial to file two reconsideration requests for an earnings related claim denial. The difference in filing timelines reflects the potential for SSA's earnings data to update. Next slide, please. We are not changing what's considered an earnings-related denial. The earnings-related denials are listed on this slide. And finally, as a reminder, a claim is ready for reimbursement when there are proven earnings for 9 out of 12 continuous months at or above SGA level. All VR agencies must submit proof of earnings documentation with every claim. Acceptable earnings documentation includes, but is not limited to, the work number, pay stubs, employer signed statements with FICA withholdings, SSA supplied Verser reports, quarterly Office of Child Support Services, and National Directory of New Hire data. Thank you. Next slide, please. If you have any questions, please email the help desk, vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. Next slide, please. I'm handing back over to Jocelyn. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I will be going over the untimely filing denials. Next slide, please. The top denial reasons for untimely filing, I'm gonna share a few of them with you. So code 620, untimely filing for initial claim. So when you will receive this denial for the initial claim, it is because the initial claim was filed more than 1 year from the 9th month of SGA. The following steps you will need to take to avoid this denial for the initial claim is 1, to review the earnings provided on the Vocational Rehabilitation Client Earning Report, VERSA, to ensure you file the claims no more than 1 year from the 9th month of SGA. So for example, if the 9th month of SGA is April 2024, the initial claim needs to be filed by April 1st, 2025. Next slide, please. In addition, when you receive this denial for 620 untimely filings for reconsideration, which is earnings related to denials, if a reconsideration claim for an earning-related denial is filed more than 365 calendar days from the decision date, so the steps to avoid this denial is to ensure the reconsideration is filed no more than 1 year from the decision date on the notice of determination. Next slide, please. And in addition, untimely filing for reconsiderations for non-earning denials, when you receive this denial, if a reconsideration claim for a non-earning related denial is filed more than 90 calendar days from the decision date, you will need to take the following steps to avoid this denial. Ensure the reconsideration is filed no more than 90 days from the decision date on the notice of determination. Next slide, please. At this time, I will turn over VR reminders to Raquel Donaldson. Raquel?
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Jocelyn. Next slide, please. I just want to give you all a couple of quick reminders just directly from the VR help desk. When you are submitting a request, any type of inquiry, I take that back. Anytime you email the VR help desk, please remember to provide your PID, which is your provider ID. Some of you know it by the DUNS number. If you don't know what your number is, your PID number, just email the VR help desk and I'll be more than happy to give that to you. Also, when you're requesting assistance with assigning a ticket using the portal, please include a signed IPE and the error code if you show one. And please keep in mind that the VRs are expected to assign their own tickets. So I'm speaking of when you do receive an error, any situation where you can't assign the ticket yourself, when you're sending me a message requesting it to be done via the VR help desk, be sure to include the signed IPE. Lastly, I'm not sure if any of you, I'm sure some of you knew Kevin Harris from the New Jersey Blind VR. I'm very sad to share the news that he has passed away. We learned of it a couple of weeks ago, unfortunately. Kevin, I met first at a CSAVR, so some of you may have met him there or some of the on-site trainings that SSA has done in the past. Kevin was funny, and he was my ray of sunshine pretty much. Whenever he emailed me and received an out-of-office reply, he'd always ask me something about me going shopping, where I've been, something like that, and he wasn't far from the truth, so he will be greatly missed. I do want to welcome Dennis McNerney. Dennis, you have big shoes to fill if you're on the call, but I just ask you all to help Dennis out, welcome him. I always suggest to the newcomers to reach out to the veterans in the VRs for help. You know, you guys know things on the portal side that we don't. So I always refer my newbies to you all. So please welcome Dennis if he has any questions or concerns that I'm unable to help him with. And that is all I have. Pass it back to you, Jocelyn. Thank you.
Thank you. Next slide, please. Just to follow up, following up for steps for faxing documentations for a claim and diary. We ask that when we collect all required documents that we'll review the diary explanation text to identify and gather the required documents necessary. Two, generate a new a fax cover sheet. So you select view all VR pending payments for me, click on actions, and click fax additional information. Next step would be to check fax status. So then you would select view all VR pending payments for me, click on the actions and the link next to it, that's the appropriate payment request. And then you would click show fax status link. And there will be a fax receipt date if SSA received the fax. And finally, contact the VR help desk. So please contact the VR help desk at vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. If within 30 days have passed since you submitted all the required documentation and your claim has not been processed yet. Next slide, please. All right, we will now move over to the next portion of the meeting, which is question and answers time. So just a few reminders for those that may have a couple questions. I would like to remind for those over the phone, raise your hand by dialing *5 and you will be unmuted by the facilitator. You will then press *6 to unmute yourself. If you are in MS Teams and you have a question, please raise your hand by selecting the raise hand icon in Teams. Your mic will then be unmuted by the facilitator and then you will unmute yourself. Please state your first name, the VR name, and ask your question. A reminder that we ask initially for all questions to be one question per person. And any additional questions you may have, you can email. At this time, I will turn it over to Amani and ask if we have any questions. I see a few.
Hi, Jocelyn. Thank you. Yes, we do have a couple of questions. The first person is Eugenia Cox. You have audio access. Please unmute and ask your question.
Hello. I'm sorry to hear about New Jersey. He was a really nice guy. But my question is that the 90 days, which is a change from 60 days to do an inquiry or reconsideration for non-wage related, Will the letters be updated to reflect 90 days versus 60 days? And my second question is Renee did not mention state U unemployment insurance wages in the wage information that would be acceptable to SSA.
Junia, it's Renee. Can you repeat your first question, please?
The first question is that you changed the 60-day requirement for non-wage-related inquiries or recons. You changed it from 60 to 90 days, is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Will it change on the letters that come out? Okay, because it says 60 now. And then the second one was the state UI wages was not it was not mentioned in the acceptable wage information.
If we're currently accepting it, then we will continue to accept it. I don't want to, say blankly that we'll accept any documentation, but if we've already approved your, I know that, we've spoken in the past about the types of earnings documentation and things like that. So if we're currently accepting it from your VR, we will continue to accept it.
No, I mean, listing of the state UI wages, that's how most of the states do it currently, unless it's a verser.
Yes,
I'm not talking about evidentiary.
Sorry?
I'm not talking about evidentiary, like if we sent over an official document for the state UI wages.
If we're currently accepting, we're not changing what we're accepting. It was just a reminder. So those were just examples, but it wasn't a comprehensive list. So if we're currently accepting, we will continue to accept it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Imani, who do we have next?
Thanks, Jocelyn. We have Eric Smith. You can unmute yourself and ask your question. You have audio access.
Hi, thanks, Eric from Maryland. First of all, really good updates this time around. Thank you very much. I had a quick question way back at the very beginning regarding the suitability slide. There was mentioned, please remember to compress all of the files that go to suitability. Can you clarify what you mean by compress all the files?
Hi, this is Jocelyn. Compress usually means like zipped, a zip file.
Okay.
So usually when you...
Go ahead. So I just did that today and it bounced back. I don't know if it was your guys' end or our guys', or our end, or our state VR, but we have a very zealous AI that basically roots out anything it thinks is suspicious, and it includes basically sending anything zipped or compressed. So I'm not sure, is there any other workarounds for that? Do you know if the SecRes folks, do they have a fax that I could send a fax to alternately? Because I cannot send, due to our data encryption police over here, something that's encrypted and zipped.
This is Jocelyn. We can take that back and ask.
Okay.
And follow up for you.
I appreciate that very much.
No
I basically am kind of stuck in a corner here. Our state's not allowing us to use the secure partner to send emails anymore. So ssa.gov to maryland.gov, even though it's secure partner, they're not letting us do that. They're not letting us send anything zipped and protected that way. So I'm running out of options on how to get you all suitability. And I obviously need to do that for our staff and then our partners. So anything that you could get and share as an alternate way for us to get that information to you all would be very helpful.
Can you also send your information so we have it on record to the VR help desk at ssa.gov so that we can reply back with you
and
send additional guidance out?
I can give us a kind of summary on there. Yep,
thank
that'd
you.
Be great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Imani?
Yes, we have Kim Farley. You now have audio access. You may unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, I'm with Illinois Division of Rehab Services. And my question was not really on the 620 denials, but I seem to like we'll get a lot of 590 where the evidence, they say the evidence wasn't included. Well, a lot of our, like we just have the state, Illinois Department of Employment, Employment Security, our wages come from there. We don't have nationwide. So I kind of check that and then also check the Bursar report. If your report shows like they're all, you know, I've had 9 months SGA, like all at F's, or, you know, if it shows that, then I'll go ahead and file it. But I don't have any backup information other than the Bursar report, because we just have, you know, like they moved out of state and maybe were employed in another state. So we don't have the wage information for that. And in our comments section, I always list based on the Bursar report and IDES wage earnings, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say that. But then we still get all the 590 denials. So I don't know what I'm supposed to send with that, because we don't actually have any backup detail for their earnings other than your Bursar report.
Hi, Kim. This is Candace Whaley. I wanted to let you know that you should not receive a 590 denial if you submit Bursar in remarks and SSA has at least 9 out of 12 months on our records. So, yeah, so even if you have Bursar, if the earnings aren't showing up on our records, the claim will have to be denied 590 unless you submit documentation with your claim for the earnings. That's just the way the policy is right now. If you can find any of the, like the UI wage data, anything, because you should not get a 590 as long as we have 9 out of 12 on Bursar. You have 9 out of 12 for on the remarks tab with the earnings and the applicable quarters, or you send in fax documentation that has 9 out of 12 months. So if any of that is untrue, please send a recon requests to the VR help desk. But if all three of those things are followed, or not followed, I'm sorry, then of course it will be denied a 590. And we apologize. That's just a new policy. And it can change in the future, but right now it's just our current policy.
Okay. I don't know if I got all that, but so we do need wage earning information along with the Bursar report.
You do not need to put the wage documentation with the Bursar report. But if our records do not have the 9 out of 12 on our Bursar in SSA's records, then we would have to deny it. So my suggestion is I would send them both, so you do not get any 590s.
Okay. Well, yeah, I wouldn't have any on my end because they were out of state, so we won't have the wage. But I do send that. I actually was just looking at one before we got on this call, like where you had, there were four quarters with F's all in a row on the Bursar report, but we didn't have any wage information, and it was denied with 590 code. So I should send that back in as a reconsideration.
Yeah, I would send a request to the VR help desk to have that looked at. Like I said, usually your Bursar report should match ours, but if we do not have 9 out of 12 showing on Bursar in SSA's records, then it would have to be a 590. So my suggestion to everyone is put those 9 out of 12 quarters or applicable quarters on the remarks. If you don't have it, then use the Bursar. And if you're not sure that you have, like you said, you're out of state, I would submit wages, any of the quarterly wages as well. Just so that you're proactive and you wouldn't be denied a 590. That's just my suggestion, because 590 should be very rare.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say several, but I bet every time, at least once a month and stuff, we'll get one like that. So,
and I just wanted to add that 590 is considered an earnings denial.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Imani, do we have any callers who've dialed in? Any questions?
We do not have any questions from any callers at this time.
Okay. Do we have any other questions?
We have one more from Eugenia. You have audio access. Please unmute yourself and you can ask your question.
Two questions. One is, is there a more current VR provider handbook than 2017?
Hi, this is Renee. Yes, there is a 2020 version, and we are working on an update, on an updated version.
Eugenia, hi, this is Candace. I believe I sent you one when I sent you the 2013 one, so I would check that email.
And then my next question is there been a new TPM, Ticket Program Manager, announced, or is that still open?
Hi, this is Renee. No, a new TPM has not been announced yet.
Thank you. I believe we have another question, raised hand.
Yes. Yes, we have one from Shelly Paquette. You now have audio access. You may unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi, everyone. Shelly Paquette, Minnesota General VR. My question's in regards to the Verser and the survey that you're putting out. I wanted to add a little bit more information to the answers to the survey, because yes, it would be helpful, but then thinking kind of steps, how would that look like? And can you describe what a monthly Verser would look like versus the quarterly we have?
I'll take that one. Hi, it's Katie. So SSA receives monthly updates of our quarterly data, but we only send you a version of that update, right, every 3 months, every quarter. So while our records update every month, it's a very fixed point time, we get a download once a month, we only send it to you after the big updates. So we were curious if, you know, once a month after we get our updated refreshed data, if we sent you the file, right, once a month, would you use it and look at it every month? The file would be identical. Nothing would change about it, except you would be getting pretty much a copy of what we're looking at when you send your claim in, if that helps.
It does help. My question would be then, so right now we keep our quarterly and we have to delete that every quarter we get a new one. Would we have to delete then every time we get a monthly one, or can we cumulative keep until we get the quarter covered? So it's kind of those logistics that we're kind of working through the steps when we'd receive it monthly.
I honestly, I'm not sure why you would want something that was outdated. Yeah, our intention is if we sent it to you, would you then be able to turn around and use it, right? So that you would ideally, right, instead of waiting for the next Verser file to send us your claims, you could actually send us claims on a monthly basis, right, based on this monthly update to the Verser data. So yeah, we would want you to not use the old one, right, because it's outdated.
Thank you, Katie.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe we have another question.
Yes, Jocelyn, we do. Eugenia, you have audio access. Please unmute yourself and you can ask your question.
My concern is that if you send us the Verser on a monthly basis, you're only able to see UI wages on a quarterly basis. That does not change. So we don't pull, because employers have a full quarter to report their quarterly wages. It's not going to match up with, right now it matches up with the quarterly Verser. So, and we know you can't see the state UI wages until two quarters in on the 15th. So that would be my only concern, is if the Verser doesn't help you, then your UI is not going to match up if we do it on a monthly basis.
So, and anybody on the team can help me. So, right, when you send in your claims, right, we only use the quarterly data that's on our system, right? You could send us, you know, unless obviously, like Renee talked about, right, you have, you're serving evidentiary UI data that, you know, we accepted, like, yes, we can take your UI wages before it populates to our system, right? But when we look at your claims, absent anything else, right, we're using in our system, right, what we have, what we just got in our monthly data dump. So by sending you what we have, and you would know for 100% certainty, right, of exactly what quarterly data we have. So it doesn't have to be in your, right? It doesn't have to be in your UI wage data for us to pay you. It needs to be on our Verser file, right? If it's on our Verser file, unless there's contradictory monthly data, right? Those quarterly, we're pretty much showing you, right? It's, to me, Verser is we're showing you what quarterly data we have. Would it be useful to you if on a monthly basis you could look and go, oh, SSA finally has what I have. So. Anybody else on the team have anything else that would help? Because I know you guys do the claims.
No, that's perfectly right. We review the monthly earnings first, and then we look at the quarterly earnings. So we should, you should, if you send in that monthly Verser, or we're sending them a monthly Verser file now. Is that correct, Katie?
Quarterly.
I mean, that's quarterly. Who's saying monthly? Eugenia, you said monthly?
No, I was saying that if you send us the quarterly wages on the Verser, it might not match up with what we currently have in the UI.
Well, it should match. A lot of times, like Katie said, if the data is not updated yet in our system, but it should match. Anything that shows up on a Verser file, SSA already has.
Yeah, and some employers report early, and some employers report till the very, very end of the quarter. And so it never matches quite. That's why I always encourage people to wait till you get the Verser. That makes sure that any corrections, or because they're reporting two quarters out, the employers are. So I just think that if you send the Verser every month, that it's not going to match up. You won't have the most current information that we see for UI. Because, you know, I remember way back when Raquel told me that we see like fourth quarter of UI. It'll be one full quarter, January, February, March, and you won't see it till mid-April. Okay. Because there is a full quarter that an employer has to report. So you may not see fourth quarter of 2025 until mid-April. And then first week in May is when you send us the Verser. So that way we make sure we have all the fourth quarter UI wages when you send us that the next Verser, which is coming up.
Well, Eugenia, this is where that second recon comes in, and we're hoping that that, you know, satisfies a lot of the VRs, because I know we only had one recon to submit. So a lot of times, if the wages are off by a couple quarters and you send in a recon, you have two now. So you won't be denied if you have those wages. So let's be happy about that, Eugenia. We've been waiting patiently to give you this information so that everybody will be happy. So I was going to say everybody clapped their hands that's happy about the new recon rule, but I thought it would be a little too much. But yeah, so basically I'm very, there you go. Thank you, everyone. So you have an extra chance to submit that claim. So I'm just hoping that, you know, the wages do add up when you submit it, but if not, you have two extra tries for the earnings denial or the non-earnings denial. So I'm hoping that that's helpful. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you. I believe we have one more raised hand that I see.
Yes, Jocelyn, we do. Cassie Tafoya, you can unmute yourself and ask your question. You have audio access.
100% saying this out loud, okay? So we have two recons, but they're from the 1 year, 365 days from the original denial, correct?
That's correct.
Not 365 from the first denial of the recon, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I just wanted to 100% get that locked in. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Shauna Dixon, and I'm one of the senior program analysts on the team as well. I just wanted to let everybody know and give everybody a reminder that new recon policy begins May the 1st. Okay, so I just wanted to let everyone know it's effective May 1st, because I think Eugenia said something earlier about the notice not being changed yet. So it's not in effect yet, but it will be as of May 1st.
Thank you for that important update. All right. At this time, I'm not seeing any additional raised hands. If there are no other questions, can we please move to the next slide, please? All right. I'd like to remind everybody about our next upcoming event, which is the next Work Incentive Seminar, WISE. The topic for that is debunking the three biggest myths on disability benefits and work. That will be held on April 22nd from 3 to 4:30 p.m. And you can always go to our 2026 calendar of events to see additional detail. And so we will share additional information regarding this event as well in a future Gov delivery message, which will also include ticket portal issues and outages. And so please save this email address. If you don't already have it listed and not going to your spam folders, it's tickettowork@subscriptions.ssa.gov. Next slide, please. And our next quarterly all VR call, we are asking for any topics. And if you have any that you would like to discuss, please send them to the vr.helpdesk@ssa.gov. The next call date will be announced, but until then, please submit any topics. And thank you again all for joining today's call. If anything, if you have additional questions, please send them to the VR Help Desk. And everybody have a good afternoon. Thank you.